All right, let's train. Go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hello, everyone. I am Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for joining us on a Thursday.
Yes, we are going to talk about the news that caught our eye today and then end with some stories that made us smile. So let's get started with those stories that caught our eye. The news fix. Kai, you want to go first?
The original purpose of having a news fix and this entire podcast was to do stories that maybe you missed in the crush of the pandemic. And obviously the pandemic is the president says it's over, but we know it's not. But it's less present on people's minds, and there's news otherwise that takes up a lot of bandwidth. All of which is to say, y'all have probably heard or seen this story, but I just think it's amazeballs, and I'm going to timestamp this. So Putin gives this speech yesterday, and he announces a call-up of 300,000 Russian men between the ages of, I think, like 17 and, I don't know, military age. Uh-huh. So that was 2 days ago. All kinds of stories out of Russia today, video, wrenching video of these men leaving their wives, their partners, their children behind, parents, and heading off to be conscripted into the Russian army in a really kind of situation in Ukraine, right? I mean, the Russians are right now getting spanked after some success early on. The Ukrainians are on the offensive. They're getting lots of support from the West. The Ukrainians are. And now Putin's going to send 300,000 conscripts into Ukraine to help him recover. So two things about this. Number one, I'm going to timestamp it right here. I think this is where Putin overreached and the Russian population starts turning against him, because until now, he's been able to keep that war largely isolated from the general Russian population. And now with 300,000 people being called up, that has changed, right? And there's all kinds of protests in Moscow and other cities, and lots more people will come home dead, honestly. So that's number one.
Thing that happens when you send 300,000 young or older men is that's 300,000 more people to report back what's really happening, which is going to affect the propaganda machine as well.
Right, right. Absolutely. Great point. So that's number one. Number two, I commend to everybody's attention the Daily from the New York Times today, which is not with my all-time favorite podcast host, who usually hosts that, whose style I just have come to love and adore so much.
You should see the skeptical look on my face.
But it's with the other host.
He's got an amazing cadence and way of speaking, doesn't he?
God, it's unbelievable. Well, and it's just the repetition of the question. Anyway, that's a whole different podcast. Just listen to the Daily today for their Moscow correspondent's analysis of what this all means. And the short answer is, it's nothing good for anybody. And I just think this is a huge story. I think this is the moment Putin has overstepped. And here's hoping that that's actually the case.
I mean, but at what cost? Jeez.
Well, yeah. Oh, for sure.
A lot worse.
For sure. For sure. 100%.
Okay. Well,
there you go.
My news fix actually does kind of harken back to the things you may have missed in the pandemic.
Okay.
Another epidemic in this country is the opioid crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're losing hundreds of thousands of people to opioid addiction, overdose, and things like that. There is a simple and easy way to literally save someone's life if they're overdosing, which is this opioid reversal drug called naloxone. And you may have seen these on TV. It's like a little spray bottle, and it's kind of like a shortish one, almost like the little nasal sprays that you do for allergies in the morning. But it is a drug that works and can literally like save somebody if they're actively having an overdose. And so the FDA has said over time that this is a good thing, and the Biden administration wants it to be more widely available. But because of weird rules around the fact that it's all the approved versions of this.
Uh-oh.
More glass is falling in my house.
Oh, no. We should say Kimberly had a glass mishap. Yeah.
I came into my house and like randomly one of the glass walls of these cabinets I have for my plants, it's just shattered and there's glass everywhere. And I don't think it was Jasper. And I have no idea how this happened. So if you hear crashing noises, this is more of the glass wall collapsing in my bedroom. So that's going to be my fun activity tonight, is cleaning up all this glass. And my working theory is that I think the fire alarm went off today and it's really loud. And I wonder if that shattered it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, okay, back to naloxone. So due to sort of just rules around how you distribute prescription drugs, it's made it harder for groups and individuals to sort of get access to this. You had to go through sort of wholesalers or governments in order to give these things out. So here in DC, the DC Department of Health will let you go onto a little website, give your address, and they will just bring you one of these kits, no questions asked. You can go to a bunch of pharmacies and get these kits that include a little guide of how to recognize when someone's having an overdose, how to give them this medicine, save somebody's life, right? And so I have like two of these things. And the FDA has issued new guidance that it's not going to enforce certain, as they call, I'm reading from Bloomberg Law here, certain Drug Supply Chain Security Act requirements on programs distributing naloxone to underserved communities while in an opioid public health emergency, which we are. So this basically means that more people can have access to this with fewer barriers. So rather than it having to come from like your government department of health, maybe your church could get a supply and hand them out in the community, or a school could have them in, you know, and give them to students or something like that. So it's a life-saving drug and it's now going to be more accessible. And I think that's really great. And hopefully we'll sort of decrease the stigma of having it on hand, because you never know when you could save somebody's life with this drug. So there's that.
Yep, totally.
That
true.
Is my news fix.
Good.
Yes.
That's good. That's good news. That is good news. Which gets us to making me smile. Holy cow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got 5.
I've got 5. Are you still there? I sounded like your line dropped. No, you're there?
No, okay, no. Good. Really?
All
I'm right here.
It was just a weird distortion. Yep, you're back now. So let's just keep going through.
Just keep going.
Yes. Yeah, I do.
You've got
I have five.
Go. Holy cow.
I have 5. Go. So the first ones that are actually at the bottom of this list, I am going to point you to 2 Twitter comments, because I love how fixated folks in the audience are on this answer to, or it was from What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, where someone asked a question about whether or not we could deal with the CO2 shortage by using up everyone's old soda streams to make beer, right? So, 2 interesting points. First of all, Todd Allstrom sent us both a tweet today saying SodaStream released a product called Beer Bar in 2016 for Germany and Switzerland only. And he points to this press release, and I look, and sure enough, it's a SodaStream where you get this little beer syrup and you add it to the SodaStream, and sure enough, you get beer. They don't seem to be selling it anymore, although someone correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed to only be in Germany and Italy. Second tweet from one of our listeners, Carrie, who says, the SodaStream to boost flat beer is a great idea. However, those also use CO2 tanks. So will the supply issue also impact this? I use mine for carbonated water daily, but periodically need a new CO2 tank, which I read that and I was like, well, duh.
I should say here, Todd Allstrom is a guy who knows his beer, right? He started Beer Advocate. So so he's somebody. And I'll tell you what, given the technical problems that we're having, clearly I'm in this bleepity bleep bleep shed, and God, Jesus. Let's just wrap it up, shall we? Let's get out of here. We're done. We're back tomorrow.
Okay.
I've got to figure out some equipment. Economics on Tap. I'll know the drill. 6:30, 3:30, news, half full, half empty. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, all the normal Make Me Smart things. Email us, call us. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Olivia Zhao is our intern. Today's episode was engineered by Juan Carlos Torrado. Bridget Bodner is the senior producer. Donna Tam is the director of On Demand. I wasn't going to make you read anything else, Kai.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Heads up play. Trained audio professional right there. Kimberly Adams.
Yes. get it done, even with glass falling around me.
That's right. Glass is falling for you. My connectivity sucks. Yeah, it's all good.
So, you know, Jesus, our tech producer, says like everything's in retrograde right now, so this makes sense.
Well, there you go. There you go.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.